Hey, welcome back to today's edition of State of the Arts. I'm Richard Fenniger.
And I'm Peggy Nelson.
And we just got off the line with Catherine Wolfe, who plays Rosa in City on a Hill, the new TV series on Showtime starring Kevin Bacon. And does she hold her own with the language department with Kevin Bacon in this show? Now, we have two special people who are with us. One is in the studio. Elizabeth Saint is in the studio with us.
Hello.
And we have Sib Law, who is in Rye, New York, and he's on the phone line with us. Are you there, Sib?
Greetings.
Okay.
Hi, Sib.
Hey there.
We have
us on the show. Thanks for having us.
That's right. We have this very special event that's coming up in my hometown in Stratford, Connecticut. It's the Stratford Arts and Culture Festival 2019 Phoenix Season. Now, what I want to do, as an old journalist, you always do the who, what, why, when, and where. So let's start at the very beginning. What is this festival? You want to start it?
Sure. Take it first. And again, thank you so much for having us. We're so excited. It is a festival that is celebrating all performing arts and all arts in general. So when it was funny, I was trying to get my homework done so I could celebrate this properly with y'all. And the more I wrote, the bigger I realized it had become. So we were sitting there and it is painting, it is artisans, it is music, bands, it's dance, it's plays, it's reading and writing, it's film screenings. We are trying to honor all the forms of art. It came about because Stratford Forward, which is completely non-political, it's not for profit, was already thinking, we were just heartbroken by looking at that theater starting to sag and decay. And then just as we were starting these conversations about what can we do, it burned. And it was just horrifying. It was that very day, and we all ended up gathering at Orna Rawls' house and saying, what do we do? And someone said, well, we have to make sure that everyone remembers this piece, this beautiful, beautiful property. It needs to stay in honor of art. Mm-hmm. And it grew from there. And it's kind of magical because it's your hometown. So I would say easily half are people that have grown up in Stratford. They have a huge history. They went to the theater. They know everyone in town. And then the other half, and I'm part of that crowd, is the moved just recently. We don't know the history, but we know a dream of what we would like to see our town fulfill for the future.
Right.
And it's this beautiful, and it's really sort of mystical in its own weird sort of way, because as I started listing, it's Phoenix Festival because it's art from the ashes.
Right.
And so we have a beautiful sculpture supported by the mayor, made from the twisted I-beams of the burned building.
Is this the Phil Levine?
Yes.
Okay.
It's gorgeous. I was not allowed to take pictures of it, but it is so beautiful. The mayor supported it. It's being
and
taken
who,
and supported by the town.
Who's the artist who did the
Phil Levine.
Oh, Phil Levine.
Well, he and another.
Okay.
Yeah, there's another sculptor too, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Sib knows him. I've met him, but I mean, it's this amazing layering of, again, we picked Phoenix because we're rising from the ashes. Mm. And what we're doing is a lot of our materials by Margaret Bodell, who was offered to us by the town, is all reworked things. We have pallet seating. We have recycled materials that are being used to decorate. We're bringing people. I mean, we are tapping high school students. We're having learning disabled members of the community that are passing out flyers to the towns. So it is very much who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is also lifting out to reach to not only our community, but the surrounding communities. So we've got the New England Ballet coming. We have the Connecticut Dance Conservatory. We have Connecticut Free Shakespeare. We have string quartets. We have jazz.
Downtown Cabaret.
Downtown Cabaret is coming. We're doing children's theater. We're doing very adult film screening late at night on Saturday called Ghostlight. It's really this amazing layering of history, reusing, honoring, and then also very visionary.
Okay. Now, we've talked about what it is, who actually started it, but Sib, I want to ask you, let our listeners know where it's going to be, because that's going to be one of the most crucial things about the whole festival itself.
Yeah, so it's going to take place on the grounds of where the Shakespeare Theater used to be. For years, there'd been a summer festival out there that would take place with theater ongoing in the evenings. And this is really an all-day, all-weekend festival there on the grounds of the Shakespeare Theater. It's right at the mouth of the Housatonic, easy access off of exit 32. And I would argue when you come out and you start enjoying the festival, you'll get to take in one of the most beautiful views on the East Coast, if not just Connecticut.
Right. Now, the thing that I was so impressed with, I actually came out here in 1976 to work at the American Shakespeare Theater. So I was there from 76 to 83. And I could not believe when you had us all down there to shoot the video, we were standing on the grounds where the theater actually stood. Mm. And I was standing there with my posters. I looked down and said, oh, my God, I'm standing in where the old lobby used to be. Oh, I'm walking down the right side aisle or the left side aisle. Yeah. Oh, I'm down on the stage and everything. And I really couldn't believe it. And that's what a lot of people are going to have an opportunity to experience and seeing where this was. And you've set it up so that there are four different areas that people will be able to go to from one to the other. Sib or Elizabeth, either one of you want to elaborate on those a little bit more?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. So one thing that was interesting about how the theater was built is, on the ground floor, it was raked seating. But the way they built it was they actually raked the ground and then put a cement slab on top of the raked ground. Well, that raking is still there, so it's very easy to put yourself in the mindset of where different things were in the theater. And our music stage, the Sound and Fury stage, will actually be in that space. So when you're enjoying music on Saturday and Sunday, you'll be sitting in spaces that had been in part of the theater. We have another stage that is back in the woods. So if you've ever been out there, you know there's kind of this great lawn that has the wonderful view of the estuary and the river delta. And then pushed back, tucked a little bit into the woods, we're going to have a 40x40 stage that'll have all sorts of theater events and performances, both for children and for adults throughout the 2 days. We have an artisan village that'll be taking place, and there's going to be everything from duck carvers to photographers to people doing shirts with silk screening, and you can order a shirt and watch it be silk screened right there on site. So all kinds of things going on there. And then we have another little village that'll have some vendors and food trucks and that sort of stuff that'll be happening as well.
Okay. Now, the Sound and Fury is the music stage. The Midsummer is the main stage that you were talking about. And the Avon Artisans. All of this is done as if it were named in Shakespeare's time.
I know. It's so clever. I mean, it's just one small detail to this huge festival, but it's those little details that remind you who you're honoring and what you're honoring.
And one of the nicest details is Will's Pub.
Will's Tavern.
What else would you get?
Yes. What's going to be there?
Well, we're very
excited. Have any doubt?
Yeah, well, that is true. There must be some body singing at some point, right? And so, yes, actually, we're starting pretty early in the day, and we will be offering brews from the area, also including non-alcoholic brews with Athletic Brewery. Mm-hmm. So anybody who enjoys, good Connecticut brewed beers and porters and things like that, come on out for that too. Okay. And I mean, it's really going to be, I'm afraid to say this, but I almost dare someone to not be able to find one thing on those grounds in 2 days that they
don't
enjoy.
I was going to say, there has to be something for everyone. You just look at the list and I mean, what else is there? For families, it's so family friendly.
I have a 7 and 8 year old. Another gentleman on our group, Josh Tillotson, has 4 kids, and we said, look, we've got to do something. So everyone can enjoy it. There's actually a gentleman who grew up here, Paulo Perez, who's going to come and do classic rock with kids. So it'll be that perfect marriage of every parent that's just about lost their minds listening to Wheels on the Bus one too many times. This is going to be for them. So you can grab a beer, listen. Your kids are going to learn all the classic rocks that you always wanted them to know.
Okay.
And so
I love that
it's
idea.
A little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. We're going to do costume making with recycled textiles for the kids. So we want everyone to be involved. And it's not even just, we don't want it to be a passive experience, which I think you're already getting a sense of. So yes, if what you want to do, and for the highlights of we're going to be parking mainly at the airport.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. So that's where it'll be.
Yeah, well, the airport's where you want to park, and we
not quite the airport. It'll be at the Army engine plant.
Yes.
Okay.
Near the airport.
Yes. Sorry. Right. Thank you very much. Sib knows the lay of that land better.
And then there
will
be shuttles. Is that it?
Yes. Shuttles will be going back and forth. So bring a lawn chair, bring a blanket. And if you don't, we have angel seating, so you can rent chairs. If you want to be super close to the stage and comfortable, sit on the ground, listen to some music. There'll be maps all over the place so you can be, you know, listening to this and realizing that your child would probably love the play. Girls weren't meant to be superheroes, which, of course, we all know, you know, and things like that. So you can wander away, do that, step over, get some food.
And each of the areas is far enough from each other that even if there's something musically going on one stage and something theatrically going on the other, they're not going to interfere that much, which I think is great, too. How much property is down there, Sib, that you have access to?
Well, I can't remember the exact acreage because some portion of it is covered in marsh.
Oh, okay.
But all of the usable property we'll be using, and I think it's about 7 acres of usable property where it's pretty spread out. The Artisan Village will be at one end of the property. The Midsummer Stage will be at the far other end of the property. And the Sound and Fury Stage will be kind of mid-property. And they're all sort of angled in ways with little bits of slopes and things where there should not be any sound interference from one area to the next.
Right.
If you're attending one of the plays at Midsummer Main Stage, are there going to be chairs other than the angel chairs? Or is this where we bring our own chair and sit and watch?
That's a great question, and we would recommend that you bring your own chair. There will be some chairs available to rent, and there'll be some blankets available as well. But, you know, bring your own chair, bring your own blanket.
Sounds great.
It does. Will there be a host in each individual area, or will the groups just get up and begin performing?
There will be hosts. So we'll have our artistic director will be hosting the Midsummer Stage, and our assistant, his name is Tom Evans, and our assistant artistic director will be hosting the Sound and Fury Stage, and her name is Yasmin Thornton.
Okay.
And Tom, I should say, when you were talking about those little touches about the names of the different areas, our artistic director really gets credit for coming up with those names, with one exception, I will say, Will's Pub, the mayor named the pub.
Oh, good.
Now, can I have to ask, is there a charge to get into the festival? How is that working? You go in for a day, or what are
so this is a pay what you will. So, you know, we'll have a donation station.
Okay.
We'd love it if people would give a donation. We'll have a little jelly bracelet available if you've given a donation. But everything is available to you for whatever you can afford.
Okay.
And who's sponsoring this? Who's paying for this? I mean, what has the town of Stratford done for you?
That's great. This has really been a partnership between Stratford Forward, which is the 501c3 nonprofit that Elizabeth mentioned earlier, and Celebrate Stratford, which is of the entity of the municipality of Stratford. As Stratford Forward, we have gone out and we have solicited donations both through a GoFundMe campaign, which currently sits at just over 14,000 plus individual donations. And right now We have about 20,000. We're hoping to raise another 5,000 before we get to festival start. And the town has really helped us in terms of leveraging the Celebrate Stratford to help us do some marketing, as well as to provide some basic services that are going to need to be done, like some things need to be done out on the Shakespeare property. There'll be some basic services that they will assist with as well, including providing the showmobile for the music.
Right. We had Laura Hoydig on maybe a month or so ago to sort of introduce this whole project and everything. And I have to say, in all the time that I have been here, her administration has been so supportive of the arts and entertainment in Stratford compared to previous administrations. And it's such a great pleasure to work with her because she understands that this can be an economic engine for the whole area, as Shakespeare was in its day. And now we don't have that here. And we're literally starting all over again. And so she and you, I'm pointing to Elizabeth and Sib and everybody else involved with us, are going to have a way to say, hey, look, this is possible. Check this out. We're doing a little bit here and a little bit there. What's the most successful? And then we can bring more of that back and do all kinds of those wonderful things and really get something down there rather than condos or something, or another dog park, if there is another dog park. But it's it's amazing, you know, what people have in mind for this.
Yes, and, you know, what I've been saying for decades, I hate to say that, but decades, is that, you know, to have that beautiful building and that beautiful history, and that nobody else has. I mean, just a few other cities in the world have this calling. And that I have loved to see what's happened in the town of Milford and how they've embraced the arts and culture, and not because of you know, just because of a group of you know, people who have an interest in it, but the town itself has embraced it and realized that it's a driving force for the economy and how people see the city. And Stratford had that. And this idea that we could recapture it is so overwhelmingly wonderful. And I hope that the town of Stratford recognizes all of your hard work that you have undertaken for your town, and that this will be, as Richard said, a driving force for change.
We really did think about that a lot. As the newbie to the group, when I would take my dog for a walk down there, and it was so beautiful, but it was also just empty. And at that point, you know, there were some homeless people that had, you know, and I'm not going to begrudge anybody who's cold, but at the same time, it was not safe. And you just thought, this is tragic. But I also completely understand. We all pay bills. We all have taxes. We get that. So whenever it was brought up, there was a lot of friction because a lot of people just saw it as sort of, a white elephant, something that was, and everyone's like, well, I'm not paying more taxes for this. And that makes sense to me.
Sure.
And never once did I think, well, we just need to, you know, just absorb it and we'll do it all. That doesn't make sense. But anyone, and I think total kudos to the mayor, to realize it could be a total driver for bringing people into town.
A destination.
The White House is beautiful.
It is.
Yes.
You could rent the space for weddings. It's gorgeous. Looking out on the river. I mean, the potential for that space is tremendous.
It is.
For it to be used in any way that didn't make it available for the town and the area, the larger area as a whole, would be tragic.
Sure.
And I do think that it really can drive people in to realize all these wonderful little businesses like the tea house and the pizza places and there's great food. There's great businesses that need to be discovered. And I love the fact that, again, the mayor and many people, over and over, it's been shown numbers wise that when you invest in the arts, you drive everything. You need hotels, you need places to eat, you need it's exposure, mm-hmm. and it makes everyone want to live there. It just feeds everyone.
Yes,
it does.
It does.
You know, the thing that first came to my mind when I came here in 1976, the theater was started in the early 50s, and I don't think that many people in the town really cared one way or the other whether the theater was here, to be very truthful. We did what we had to do to get people in and everything. But now the theater's not there, and now your organization, the mayor, the town council, and everybody, you can help determine what's going to go under that property and do it on maybe a smaller scale rather than a 1,500-seat theater that's there. Make it multipurpose and all that sort of stuff. And I think you, Steve, have some pretty good ideas about that, as well as Elizabeth.
Yeah, you know, I was privileged enough to be asked to sit on the mayor's task force, where we, as a group, we listened to the town. And there were a number of these listening sessions that were organized. Hundreds of people came out, and it was a very collaborative, open session where people shared their ideas around specific areas. And then additionally, we collected information online where people got to answer the similar sorts of questions online if they didn't feel like they wanted to come into a group session.
Sure.
And I think what came out of that is there's a clear desire by many of the people in town, and I would say a vast majority of people in town, to see something revived there that could have many different kinds of uses, not on the same scale that the Shakespeare was, but,
right.
You know, it had been closed for 30 years.
Yes.
And the reality is, you know, people want something that people in the town can use, but as well, you know, outside groups can come in and use, and we can have performances, we can feature art, we can feature artists, and have our own performances as well.
Well, I'm excited about what you're going to be doing for this festival. I was blown away when I got this from you, Sib, the event schedule, and what you all have managed to do and how it reflects Shakespeare and also all of the other arts that we've been talking about. So let's talk specifically about some of those things, because are you still having Javier Colon? Is he coming?
Colon,
yes.
He wants to be there, and that
okay.
is the plan.
That's the plan.
So we are very excited about that. He has been so gracious and so enthusiastic about what we're doing, so we're really excited about that. Cindy Winters.
And Cindy Winters, who was Nala in The Lion King on Broadway, will come, and she'll perform both with Stratford Academy and then with Javier Colon in the afternoon on Saturday the 7th.
That's so wonderful.
I have to tell you, from the very beginning, when Peggy and I were talking about it, and I said, and I know they're looking for headliners to come in. And she says, well, what about Javier Colon? And I said, well, I don't know. And then when I got this from you, Sib, and I forwarded to Peggy, I thought she would be emailing me right back. See, they took my advice.
Oh, man. I'm sure I was one of like 30,000 people who thought of Javier. But I was one person who actually watched The Voice and watched him come up.
And the fact he's from Stratford.
And then he's born in Stratford.
Yes.
And he's, you know, got this whole, he's had this humongous success. And still in all of his literature, he still says Stratford, Connecticut.
Yes.
I find that some people that were born in a small town in Connecticut but live in Long Beach, California, say, I'm Long Beach, California. No, he's Stratford, Connecticut. And I love that about him.
Yes.
And I love his voice, and his talent is amazing. And then you're doing these great tributes to Shakespeare that are going to be so much fun. Let's talk about the complete works of Shakespeare, Abridged.
Oh my goodness, it's such a fun play.
I know.
90 minutes, you get an insight into a funny comedic insight into every single one of Shakespeare's plays.
And the sonnets.
Yeah, and the sonnets.
Yes.
Yeah, and the group that's performing that is the Dandelion Productions. And
that's Connecticut Free Shakespeare.
Yes, and they,
Eric was on the show here.
Yes, he has
a few
been
weeks
on the
ago.
Show.
Yes.
And, he was.
Yes, that was when you were gone. Tom was here.
I was
yes.
gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what's really special about Connecticut Free Shakespeare is that this is not their first time performing on the Shakespeare Theater grounds.
Oh, that's for sure. Yes.
You know, they came out, I think the first time was in 2011, and were basically the resident summer company for outdoor theater out there for many, many years, and we're delighted to have them back.
Great.
Well, and I think the fact that this is such a fun show, and everyone, whether or not you've seen a Shakespeare play or haven't seen a Shakespeare play, are going to enjoy this particular performance. And this is, I think, their 20th year, that the Dandelion productions.
Right.
And the other Shakespeare piece is, one of the other Shakespeare's, is Two Gentlemen.
Performed by two gentlemen.
It's just
two people performing the Two Gentlemen of Verona from Valley Shakespeare. And I think it's going to be really good fun.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Now, we've talked about some of this, but I want to get in two other things. Volunteers. You're always looking for volunteers, right?
Oh, yes.
You need help.
Yes.
Some way or another.
This just grows and grows and grows.
Okay. So if anybody's listening, how can they contact? What website do they do?
www.stratfordphoenix.com. And we have a volunteer tab, and you will be contacted. And we have everything from heavy lifting jobs to greeters to I'm sure we have a job for whatever your skill set may be.
Okay.
And is this the same website that you would go to make a donation?
Yes, please. We have a GoFundMe, but we also, you can make a donation on our website page.
Okay.
And that's just, that is going to be your Bible, because honestly, we keep getting all these wonderful opportunities and we can't print them fast enough, to be quite frank. So take a look. We actually just added a tent for children to have an ability to just play with musical instruments, just go in and lay their hands on things. So we can, again, keep going to the website, because things keep changing. And there are things that are going to be on Sunday that aren't there on Saturday. So it's...
And that's all on the website.
It's all on the website.
Okay.
But don't just assume if you knock it out on Saturday, you've seen it all.
Okay.
And there's going to be new, the playwrights are doing lots of original plays, right?
Yeah, Tom Holohan, the artistic director of Square One, went through all of those and sort of ranked them and everything, and they're going to be performing. And he's also been consulting as far as casting. I know a number of the Square One actors that he's worked with are going to be involved with this.
Great.
And Sib,
so it'll make it nice.
To
brag
on Sib, he wrote a play that is being performed.
Oh, come on, Sib. Did you have an inside track on that?
I wish I could say yes, but, Tom made all the choices on his own independently.
Good.
And that's how it should be.
Any last thing you want to say before we sign off, Sib?
I'll just say, I want to thank the mayor for being a friend to the arts in Stratford. She's been a great partner through this entire process, and without her help, this wouldn't be happening.
And also to both individuals, we've seen tremendous donations from individuals and from corporations who have really stepped forward, and we are so grateful. We couldn't have done it without them, but we still need more help.
Well, we couldn't have done it without the two of you to get us through this 24 minutes or whatever it was. Thank you both, Sib in Rye, New York, and Elizabeth here in the studio with us. That's today's edition of State of the Arts. I'm Richard Fenniger.
And I'm Peggy Nelson.
And we've been coming to you courtesy of WPKN 89.